transported in this pipeline during conversion, or what it's going to be?
Those two.
Mics are live.
We are now reconvened for the administrative portion of the meeting. We have five items on consent. I move approval.
Second.
Sorry. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, signify by saying no. Motion is approved.
Okay, thank you, Steve. We'll now move into discussion. The first on the list is participation in 811 Day at the State Fair. Stacy.
Just wanted to let you know that Ryan did inform us that the date for this year's 811 Day is July 26th. It's that last Friday of the fair again. So in the past, Victor and I have participated, and then Commissioner Crosius the last couple of years has joined us. So if that's possible, that's always great if you could do that again. And just wanted to make sure that you are all in support of our participation again. me and Victor go for, like I said, just the one day. So there's just the mileage and per diem for the one day. And then Jill did inform us that you guys were okay with some money being spent on promotional items. So we're working on getting a list together for Jill soon so we can get going on that. And we'll have some ideas. We're looking at replenishing the pens that we had before, just so we have some pens here. And we're looking at like some notepads and then possibly something that contractors could keep in their vehicles. So we're kind of fishing for ideas on that right now, but we'll get a list to Jill, for that. And I don't know if you guys have any other questions or anything about that.
Got it on the calendar. I'll be there.
You have it on there? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if any of the other commissioners, if you're planning on attending, just let us know and we'll notice it.
Will there be corn dogs?
Of course.
Okay. Funnel cakes?
Yes. I mean, all of the above. It is very easy to spend your per diem within the first 5 minutes of going to the fair. I've noticed that.
Followed by long-term doctor visits.
But it's all worth
it. Arteries and whatnot. So. Perfect. Okay.
Okay. Yep,
sounds great. Okay. Thanks, right. Stacy.
Thank you.
The second OMS principles, long-term transmission planning. That is you, Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Yeah. So I mean, this is kind of probably the first of many discussions about this that we'll have, but I thought it was a good time to bring you all up to speed on this project that's going on in MISO. We've all been invited to some conversations that they've been having on commissioner level, at the commissioner level, and this is what it's about, long-term planning, transmission planning. I know I'm the lead, but we are all invited to participate in those discussions, and I do encourage you, to the extent that you have want to know more and have strong feelings about this, that you come so you can listen and weigh in as necessary. But they're looking at approving this statement of principle, and this is a draft, and I think it's, you know, fairly general in nature. I didn't see anything that jumped out at in it that was a huge concern to me. But, you know, I think that there's a number of things that OMS continues to emphasize, and that's, you know, the state's rights, and also the benefits, you know, that the costs follow the benefits, and that's always a challenging concept to implement. Anyway, this is, there isn't any projects in place right now. There's this ongoing concern that the south-north seam between MISO and what is it that was brought on board? Entergy?
Yeah,
Entergy. Entergy states is weak, and it's constrained, and it results in really high costs and some reliability concerns at times, depending on, you know, when there's those really peak days, that lights up on fire, and that's where the costs really get high too. So that's one of the areas I think of concern. But then just in general, you know, the ongoing discussion about the queue, how to address the queue, how to bring on more projects, how to allow these projects access to the grid, and at what point, you know, do you just keep building? Do you limit access? Whatever. So those are all the discussions. These are the principles. If you haven't had a chance to really go through it, please do and let me know if you have want me to raise concerns, or if you have some you want to raise right now, I'd be happy to hear them.
My initial concern is highlighted in the very last sentence, to worry about cost allocation after the plan is fully developed. I just think that that's not the appropriate order of things. I think you figure out who's going to pay for things before you develop them.
I share that concern.
That is my frustration, and I worry. I think at SPP it's a little more clarified up front, the highway byway thing, and but I do worry of us, of SPP potentially moving this direction. We had some discussion regarding what at SPP. The crisis area has been kind of an area around Kansas, but it's not necessarily going to be limited to that. But they refer to it as the wind-rich area, and some areas that are getting hit particularly hard by transmission costs based on that formula of allocation that we have in place. And so now the fix for that is kind of the big question.
Right.
And so I worry about something like this ending up being the result, and I'm trying to prevent it. But this really concerns me, that cost allocation is kind of a secondary thought, almost coming after just the desire to build things.
If I could, I have had that concern, and when these issues first started coming up, maybe even a year ago, and somebody came here and asked me and us to sort of lead the charge on seeking this and try to get governors involved, and, you know, kind of like a big, and I was like, no, I don't think that's something that we'd be interested in doing. But, you know, this is kind of the where it's going now anyway. But what I've come to understand a little bit better and feel a little less concerned about having the exact cost allocation formula in place ahead of time is that until you know what the projects are and who's going to benefit and what the costs are, it's kind of hard to allocate that or come up with how you're going to allocate it specifically. So you have to have good concepts in place that drive, like, what is the philosophy on cost allocation? And that might not be thorough enough in here. But some of them that might, number five is probably where he points to that the most, where it says the long-range transmission plan must assess and provide information on cost impacts of subregions, including both the cost of implementing new developed plans and the cost of not implementing any new developed plans. And then number six follows along that any plan developed should provide benefits for all of the states, and any plan developed for any subregion in MISO should benefit the states in that subregion and not negatively affect any state in the MISO footprint. So I'd be happy to express that concern, Randy, and see where we can go if we can get additional information in there in terms of what the principle or the thoughts or the overall philosophy would be on cost allocation, but I know they won't go so far as to have a formula ahead of time. But if you have ideas that you'd like to throw into the mix that are kind of from SPP, because I don't know those, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure.
We have some thoughts, I'm sure.
Because I needed to come back for this, and when the full board was going to meet, I expressed some thoughts during the meeting on Monday about injection rates, and one of the board members tried to alleviate my concerns with something that's forthcoming, but it seemed kind of coded, like, yeah, we're working on this, but just give us a little more time. And so I don't know what happened then on Tuesday, whether anything materialized or how long it'll come to develop. But it just always seems to me that, you know, yes, you need to be nimble or flexible. Not every project is going to work out the same as the previous ones. But it would seem to me that these RTOs need some sort of a standard in place that is sort of the baseline of things, and then you develop something and refine it and then maybe adjust it, that this has more benefits for the organization as a whole as opposed to a sub-region or the other way around, and so we alter that formula a little bit. But for what, as I read this, it almost seems like let's build something and then we'll fight about who has to pay for it later. That can very easily leave the small guy always paying for it. And we definitely have to make sure that that doesn't happen. And especially after hearing about the amount of heat that these interveners were bringing on in Oklahoma about RTO costs, I think it's a coming thing because they're skyrocketing.
Yeah. Jerry, do you have any additional thoughts on the whole cost allocation issue? Or Victor, or anybody, but.
My thought was that 8 says two things. It says first that the planning process will not address cost allocation. And then the second thing it says is that cost allocation issues will be addressed separately after the plan's developed. So that second sentence, I don't think it'd be too hard to get that out of there. And I don't see why it's got any business being there. Cost allocation issues will be addressed later, separately. It's not a transmission planning principle.
Okay.
It should be.
And that's where there's this disconnect.
They're two different subjects.
Because the people that are in this for life see these things distinctly unrelated. The transmission planning is one thing, and cost allocation is a totally different thing that's run by totally different people with different expertise. And there they should meet. It's just us goofy commissioners that worry about, like, how are you going to pay for this stuff? Why do you need it, and how are you going to pay for it?
Right. And you know, when they'll be addressed isn't relevant to the plan either. I mean, I don't see it as something to even be talked about with the plan the plan's being developed. I do see their point about not addressing the issues while you're doing the planning, because then the issues can influence your plan a little bit more.
As well they ought to. Need to be treating these things like it was our own. And who goes out and makes major purchases without, and then worries later about how they're going to pay for it? Well, I'll tell you people, like Hunter Hansen maybe. But not most people. And it, I think it needs to be a part of the planning process.
I'm starting to better understand why the planning is the planning, because if you're looking at the system and what it needs for, you know, reliability and efficiency, then that's what you look at. And then once you decide what you need to do that, how you do it, you come up with a plan to fix it, and then okay, now you've got that. Okay, now who benefits and who pays? That's the next step of the conversation that isn't part of that planning.
I think the cost is part of planning.
Yes.
How much it costs, but not who's going to pay what.
But the cost never seems bad as long as someone else is paying for it.
Yep.
Well, I think, yeah. The cost is part of the planning because the cost drives whether, like, if you can save money, then this makes sense to do it. If you can't save money, it doesn't make sense to do it.
Cost allocation means who pays what.
Right. But the cost is part.
You get the bill figured out and then figure out who's going to pay it. I mean, you want to minimize the bill.
Yeah.
I guess if I maybe. So if you want to build a generation unit somewhere far removed from where anything is needed, way on the other side of the RTO, if you build it, well, now it's built. You have all this cost already built into the system. I suppose at that point it's only justifiable to build transmission to get that energy to the other side of the RTO because there's already all these costs absorbed. But maybe before it was built, that didn't make sense. Had the builder of that generation had to pay for those transmission costs, they would have maybe chosen to pay a little bit more and build closer to where it was needed. But doing it, I'm just not a fan of doing these things in a vacuum of and assuming that someone else is going to pay the costs.
Victor, do you have any thoughts on this to add?
No,
or to the principles?
I would agree. I have the concern about worrying about the costs later. And it really depends on what sort of planning we're doing. I mean, is this for, you know, they're all very different. There's reliability planning. That one is one where the costs really don't come into play initially because it's necessary for reliability. There's economic projects, which absolutely the cost needs to be part of that calculation. Because that, at least in SPP, the way those are done is, well, if we keep running the system as it is, it's going to cost X million, where if we add or upgrade this line, it's going to cost this many million. And, you know, the net of those two is we're going to save whatever by upgrading or building something. And then I think the third category that MISO seems to get into that I haven't really seen on the SPP side is the CapEx type of projects where it's not for either of those reasons, but it's enabling state policy or additional build-out, you know, so our lines that run to Ellendale and to Fargo, you know, those are hotbeds of generators right now for be it wind, solar, whatever.
Do you have this draft document?
All three
of those are included in this planning. Sure. They're the first three items on the...
Okay. I honestly haven't looked at the whole thing. I'm just kind of shooting from the hip a little bit. So that's the one that's a little bit more interesting and concerning to me is, you know, how much do we end up paying for those types of projects versus how much benefit are we really getting from them?
And that is a very good question because sometimes you get saddled with the benefits for the new lines to hook up infrastructure in your state that you don't even want or are using because there's this theory that your state is benefiting from it economically, so you should pay, even though you're not using the electricity and the company just located here.
And so recall that we did this for those lines, the Ellendale line and the CapEx. Oops, wait a minute. The Fargo line was not an MVP line, but at least for the Ellendale line, and we came out pretty well, really well.
In terms of cost?
Yeah,
the last and benefits.
Time when we did this for the MVP project.
Yeah.
So when they say we, as North Dakota, came out well, how are they looking at North Dakota? Are they looking at North Dakota utilities, or are they looking at the ability to export generation? Because our utilities don't necessarily win in that case.
They were looking at... how much our utilities paid for those projects, our utilities that are in MISO, because they were split among MISO utilities. And we ended up getting them split across all of the energy in MISO. And we don't use very much of the energy in MISO, so we didn't get much of the costs.
Then was there a trade-off? So we got those costs shared across the footprint, but then we had to pay for others in other states.
There was a bunch of lines that were built and all of them were charged to all of the energy. And so, yeah, we had to pay for everybody else's project too. But the efficiencies and so forth from building those lines and the overall project costs, I think, made it a good deal. And anytime we can do these projects and allocate them across the whole footprint of MISO, because we use very little energy in there, we usually get pretty good allocations.
Well, okay, this is good discussion. I think that if you have any specific language you want to propose adding, I'm open to that. I think that we're going to be talking about this next week, and probably, I think, moving to vote on it next week, like OMS meeting is Thursday, I think. So if you have anything in particular you want to say, or if you want us to just abstain at this point, or if you want to have me propose language changes, if you can get those to me, I'd appreciate it. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. The next item is wind farm decommissioning, a letter requesting financial assurance. Pat.
Yes. Commissioners, did you all get a copy of the letter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a request for to NextEra for projects that have been in service 10 years or longer to take another look at the financial assurance. They had filed financial assurances back in December of 2017, and the commission did not accept those proposals for financial assurance. So now we're going back out and asking them to refile some financial assurance for these wind projects. The legal had developed a parent guarantee form, if you remember that. That was just approved recently by the commission. We'll send that out with the letter, but we're also providing that they could file some other form of financial assurance that the commission would review then. And we're putting a deadline on it of July 3rd. Approximately 60 days, which was acceptable. I had visited with Casey about the amount of time they might need, and that was an amount that seemed okay.
So just to confirm, they have reclamation plans,
yes,
filed.
And
there's
plan and cost.
Okay, and estimated cost, but they don't have the financial assurances because they were, yeah, that was, they're part of a different category of under the law, right?
They had filed financial assurance with their plan and cost.
Oh.
But we, you know, the commission determined that it wasn't acceptable.
No. Oh.
We
not,
can't
not
accept
the commissioners, but.
There are the provisions in there that the state won't allow us to accept.
Oh, okay. So I don't have a problem with this, I think.
We're going back out to get another filing.
And the company participated in our discussions as we developed that parent guarantee form, correct?
They did.
I'm good with it.
Well, they excuse me. Well, you had said that they will update then the decommissioning plan as well as satisfying the financial assurance end of it, or is this just strictly related to the financial assurance?
This is related only to the financial assurance. The commission had approved their plan and cost,
okay,
previously.
So, right. And how long are the application, or and how often do they have to do that? Every 10 years updated, or is it every 5?
Well, there's a provision that commission can ask for an update at any time.
Right.
That's correct.
But is there a general standard rule of thumb?
There are a few different buckets that the companies fall into depending on their time of their permitting. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of them, it's after 10 years, they provide the first one. Then every 5 years after that,
okay,
they continue to update their decommissioning costs.
So will this financial assurance line up correctly with, or is that meter on a five-year renewal has been running since 2017?
The meter on the 5 year.
They're all on different times.
You're all on different times.
Right.
Periods, but
based on when they were permitted. So.
I guess if you can give me a specific case, I could probably generally tell you what needs to be done. For example, a new one has to have a financial assurance prior to operation.
Yeah. I would think that with the NextEra projects, that 5 years would start when the commission approves the financial assurance that they file.
Okay, so then that begs the question, wouldn't we have to want to update the plans at the same time then?
Well, if you think that they need to be updated, but, I mean, were last filed in December of 2017, the plans mm-hmm. and cost.
Right.
So if you think you need an update now, we could ask for that as well. But
why wouldn't we do an update 5 years from 2017 like we're required to and just do the financial assurances now? Like, they're separate.
I like that.
We don't need them to update it now. Let's just stay on the same schedule for their
as long as
plan
we're on the
approvals.
Same schedule.
And then just update, just add the financial assurances. And then in 5 years, we'll review the financial insurance and the plan at the same time, I would assume.
That's the way I would think it would be. Otherwise, you start to build in a benefit for doing things wrong. And
sure.
And not that that was their goal here, but for the next one to see that they got to kick it back a year and a half, and so mm-hmm. we'll just not do it and drag it out. So I think when that 5 years is up on the decommissioning plan is when we'll start fresh with the new financial, because it'll probably be a different dollar amount, I imagine.
And as mentioned, we can do it at any time if we so request it.
That's correct.
All right. Anything else on that topic? Then final item on discussion matters would be cybersecurity. The second or third to final item on discussion.
Your thing is outdated because there was a fifth item that Jack added.
Oh, you know what? That is right, and I was given that just on the way on. But I'll search for that as we're talking about cybersecurity information exchange with North Dakota Farm Bureau. That is you, Steve. I guess it's you as well, Pat. Whoever
sure.
wants to go.
I can start it. I had, when I set this up, to add it to the agenda, I had attached or below my message was the message from Pete Hannibut. And evidently Pete has visited with commissioners during this last assembly about cybersecurity and different things, issues related. For the North Dakota Farm Bureau, they would like to meet with the commissioners and just need to they said they could meet any day, May 7 to May 10, but would also be available most days the week of May 13 through 17. And they're...
Can we talk a little bit, before we start talking about the date, can we talk a little bit more about the nature of this meeting? And because, I mean... I'm fine meeting with them, but they are asking for an hour and a half, and they're asking some questions. I want to talk through what we have to offer them in terms of responses on that.
Well, and I was concerned about that, too, when I visited with them, and I asked them to provide a description of what they thought would be discussed at the meeting. And so he did that, and the response was to discuss state contingency plans relating to an EMP. I'm sure service providers have contingency plans, but we feel our first step in being able to explain disaster plans to our members would be a meeting with the commissioners. It's still pretty unclear what they are looking for, but I had indicated that the commission had a meeting with utilities on cybersecurity in, I think it was April 4th, something like that.
Can we, it's look, what are the, oh, there's, I wanted something so quickly.
Yeah.
This is, these are just the days that they set out at first. I'm sure it could be later if you could find a time later.
Do they have a presentation they plan on giving us, or we... Are we being asked to give them our plans for responding to EMPs and how how the utilities are responding to EMPs. I mean,
I think my impression was that before the commission, they'd come and they would explain why, what they're trying to learn about the cybersecurity and the EMPs, and then the commission would respond with what we've done so far, and go forth from there, possibly with a workshop or something like we've done in the past. Mm. But I'm not sure what they're thinking.
Do you have any clue what their end goal is here?
I think, as Pete did approach me during the session, and so let's talk about it after the session.
Yeah.
But I think, they've apparently had no members concerned about grain licensing, but a lot of interest in what happens if there's an EMP or some other large-scale disruption in electric service and how that gets brought back up and what is done to prevent it. And so I don't know how much we can divulge, if they're asking for every company's very high priority, top secret contingency plans and things like that,
And it's a public meeting. I guess I feel like this is a portfolio holder discussion with them and Steve and Pat. I mean, I don't feel like it's a commission level, like, let's sit down and have this public discussion about EMPs and the state's plans for addressing them.
I was just going to suggest that we have a staff-level discussion to figure out what we're, at least to figure out what we're talking about as far as what they're looking for from us and or what they're going to provide to us. And so that we have
a better idea what we're doing. I mean, are these farmers? Are they members of a co-op boards or, two? I don't have enough information to say let's sit down for an hour and a half, all of us, and talk through all this stuff.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when I spoke with Pete, my impression was they just want to know that there's a plan, even a general framework, or here's the general framework of the plan without getting into specifics and something that they can share with their members. But...
yeah,
that was my impression.
I think, yeah. I mean, it's one of those hot-button issues with the public, so I think to the extent that we can really understand what they're looking for and address that in the most effective way possible, I think we should do that, recognizing there's a fair amount of security issues with some of this.
Why don't we start with Steve and... Pat and visit with them and see if
well, one of us should be part of that. I don't think we just completely.
Yeah. Would that be Commissioner Croce's portfolio?
I don't know if we've ever identified it as a portfolio. I know someone
well,
has.
It's more utility.
It's a utility issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
I mean, it's both utility and cybersecurity.
Yeah, I'd be happy to meet with them to kick it off, but I think we've got to have a deeper discussion on how we move forward with cyber at some point.
Well, yeah, for sure, but that's separate from this.
Right. But to be clear with them, if they want to meet, maybe they want to talk to us separately, or I don't object to having a full-scale meeting, but I think before they bring in maybe members from all over the state to come and talk, they need to understand when we have a meeting like that, it's a public meeting, and we can't divulge a lot of confidential information that would be very valuable to people who are trying to disrupt the system and totally defeat the purpose. Mm-hmm. So, and then also to go into it unprepared, even, not maybe not necessarily being certain of, or let's say we are certain that we can divulge something, but if some of their questions are things that we hadn't thought of, then they're probably sitting here, and now we need to do some background information requests with emergency services or with the companies in order to even be able to answer the questions. So I think maybe some background information from them would be important, but I sure don't mind meeting with them.
No.
It doesn't matter to me if we do it as a public meeting or if we just do one-on-ones. I mean, it could tee it up with me, and if we want to go that route.
You call them back and get more information, Brian, and then work with Pat and Steve on what's the best format for providing answers to their questions.
Okay. Yep. And I wasn't sure either whether he had talked to one of you or, you know, more than one of you, of the commissioners.
He just caught me briefly.
Sounds like he
did. I had a conversation in the hallway with them about it.
So I wasn't sure what commissioners had indicated to him either.
And he mentioned it to me once, saying, I'd like to talk to you about EMPs, and that was it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we'll just find out more.
Yeah, I think that's where we need to go now and start involving Conrad in it.
Yeah, let's start there. Otherwise, we could spend all day speculating on next steps.
Did you want to address any of the dates that they had thrown out in case it turns out that we do want to have a meeting, that you'd have one in your pocket, or let that materialize as we go?
Maybe we should see it materialize first.
Okay.
We're going to do a background, just quick background first. Okay. Then fifth is general rate making.
Right.
Mr. Hsu.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, I just want to tee up for discussion general rulemaking. We already have a couple of things that staff is working on. A pipeline safety rulemaking, maybe a siting criteria adjustment. We're already well into our solar decommissioning rules, writing that, and among other things. With the legislative session, I know there were a number of changes to various areas of statute. We may have to do some implementation regarding maybe procedure with certain siting cases as well. Probably this is better suited for a work session and to discuss this a little bit further. But maybe just one issue that to get you guys thinking about is and I think I've spoken with all three of you separately, and I thought maybe it'd be good to bring this to all three of you at once now. There are currently wind farms that are out there that don't have a site certificate because they were sited during a period of time when there was a siting threshold of whether it's 100 megawatts or 50 megawatts. And so they're out there, and we don't have financial assurances for them. I'm not sure if this is a concern for the commission at this time or if this is something you're looking at possibly proactively addressing to take some sort of action in the future as they're coming up to their end of useful life.
I'd love to do something on it. I think a starting point would be to better understand how many there are. Like, how do we even know who these are? Do we have a list of these?
We do have a list of them.
Okay. And how many are there?
A handful.
Yeah. There aren't a lot of them.
Okay.
But there are a number of them. Jerry, do you, off the top of your head, and I'm sure we could email out a list in anticipation of a work session.
I'd say it was four or five.
Is Wilton one of those? Is the Wilton wind farm on that list?
Oliver ones is too.
Well, I think one of the things with putting a number on it is hard because I don't know if anyone else has ever worked on it. Jerry has that list that he's updated from time to time of all the wind farms that have been sited and all the ones that are active. And you know, on there are individual turbines. If you count individual turbines as wind farms, it's probably, I think, more than the numbers by my recollection of what you're throwing out. So it depends on how small of things you want to go down to.
I think we should just do a work session on that issue.
You want to go after the Richardton Abbey is what you're really saying.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
and so where we would draw the line if we did this, I'm not sure it's the appropriate thing to do, but I do think a work session on it would be the appropriate way to go. I have mixed feelings about it, too.
Right. No, I think the singular units are possibly a different story.
Oh, well, you could do a rulemaking work session or a work session just on this.
Well, if we
decommissioning for unpermitted facilities.
Sure. I wouldn't mind having it broader than just that because probably by the time we have a work session, I'll have a draft of solar decommissioning done. It's just to look at it. It's a really preliminary one. And also at that point in time, I'm sure we'll I'm hoping we'll have enough time to sit down and actually make sure we've gone through all the legislation and see if there's any additional rulemaking that we absolutely need to do and any rulemaking that you guys would be interested in doing, even if we don't need to do that, just to have a process for things, to clarify things. And if you recall from the last rulemaking, the Air Force Base and military did come in and had one suggestion, and we were planning on doing something with that as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, that is probably a priority that we'd want to move quickly on. Mm-hmm. Certainly the solar decommissioning is. These wind farms that were never sited, they've all been around for well over a decade already. So if that misses this rulemaking and goes into another quarter or two, I don't see that that's a big issue. I think if we're unprepared or to come up with a strategy to do that or even undecided of whether or not to pursue those, I don't think we should let that at all hold up things like solar decommissioning. We've got time to work on those existing wind farms.
Absolutely.
Okay. So should we move that down to scheduling work session on rulemaking?
I'll add that to scheduling, and then Commissioner Fedor, check.
Okay, so this,
a few more things.
I do have two quick things. Well, one is kind of will probably fall into the same rulemaking work session, but so we had our meeting on siting. We had our workshop, and we set April 15th as a deadline for companies to get back to us with any information. Have we received? I have not received anything from anybody.
One email.
Okay. So, I mean, that sort of fed into what ultimately happened with 1383, I think, because in our workshop we talked a lot about a drop-dead date for filing project changes prior to hearing. That was one of the discussion points. And, you know, a number of other things that are already, I think, happening, like the witness and exhibit lists and the having the pre-hearing conferences with the ALJ and that sort of stuff. But we talked about creating a standardized list of documents needed prior to deeming the application complete. And we talked about this drop-dead date. And both of those, I think, also feed into this issue of the 30-day requirement for feedback from the agencies. So I think that we need to add this whole topic to the discussion for rulemaking, because I don't know, I think rulemaking might be the way to go in terms of how we address that 30 days so that we can have a conversation with both the agencies and the companies on how we're going to implement that. Do you think we need rules, Jack, or is that something we can just develop a policy on?
I think the vast majority of that probably can be resolved within the pre-hearing conference in most of these cases. Mm-hmm. However, there may be a benefit to some sort of rules. It's something that we can consider, because there may be a benefit if they have to provide something with an application to ensure that these agencies, for example, have provide all this information. That may be helpful so we can count on the company being able to do analysis.
And I think the benefit of proposing a rule is that you get feedback from the industry.
Sure.
Industry and from the agencies,
right.
So that, you know, we can, you know, I'm interested in knowing if they have to have their comments in 30 days ahead of time, what information do they need by what date? And that should be information that we're requesting and needing to deem it complete. I mean, those types of things, I think it's just we need to have an upfront discussion. And I disagree that we do this in, like, case-by-case basis through the ALG pre-conference meetings. That is not going to be nearly enough clarity for the agencies and the companies with this kind of a deadline in law, I don't think.
I think that you hit the nail on the head that it should be part of that rulemaking discussion, mm-hmm. and we can get into it a little bit and I think clarify in our own minds whether how closely we want to implement this in rule. There's going to need to be some flexibility. I'm imagining that it's not going to be so strict that one poll on a 100-mile power line can't be moved by 5 feet, but yet at the same time, it can't be a completely new project, and their deadline for commenting now has passed because they commented on the other one. And so this is going to be need to be a judgment factor in the end anyway, but I think it would be a good part of this rulemaking work session. We just need to remember it's probably not going to be a half hour or an hour work session because among these other topics, I think this is a pretty long discussion.
Yeah, and, so and maybe we have a separate one just on this.
Or just that we schedule it for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And
yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for me on this issue is making sure that it's that we clarify what it is, what information we need by when from the companies to be able to fulfill now this requirement that the agencies have to have for having their stuff in 30 days ahead of time. I think it all backs up to, you know, clarifying. And it's something we'd already identified as a challenge and trying to come up with a standardized list of documents. So I think it just provides more impetus to get that done and be clear to the companies that this is what your expectations are that we need. And then if they have it, then the agencies have what they need too. So,
and Jack, there's no need to remind me that you just told me this yesterday, but what's the language in the rule now? If there's something that's like beyond minimal or something like that, we can reject or to cancel a siting hearing if the changes are so significant that it's not appropriate to go forward with it, right?
Yeah, if there was
what's the standard for that?
And I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I'm not sure if it's material or substantial alteration to the site plan, but essentially there is an amendment that you feel now alters it enough to require essentially a new application be filed, and you reschedule the hearing, you would be able to do that.
So maybe it's really a matter of us determining what we consider material or substantial changes and then drawing that line and keeping it.
It could be.
Okay, so that's the first one, so we'll add that to the rulemaking work session if that's how you guys want to do that. And then the second one is much easier, and that's just, Randy, you had gotten this invite to the Ag Rail Business Council meeting May 14th. We decided we'd wait until after the session to talk about it. So, do you have, it's in Fargo on the 14th.
I think as the rail safety portfolio holder, I think that would be a good meeting for you to attend.
As the rail portfolio, because this isn't rail safety. This is
Business. I don't think our portfolio says rail safety. It's right. Like railroads or.
Okay. I will go. That's it for me.
All right. I believe that concludes discussion matters. So now we've got scheduling. And the first, assuming we're going to go in this order, Steve, you had talked about. I want to talk about commission meetings.
Yes, and one of your fellow commissioners has some suggestions.
So here's the, so you don't have to break the code, like getting oil out of Bakken shale or something. The first three check marks, those are the ones that were on my calendar as being done already. And then, so starting from July 10th, starting July 17th then, is every Wednesday. Not that we couldn't have some at some point on a different day, but those are the Wednesdays. I marked some of the things that I'm aware of that have conflicting issues, like NARUC and my SPP, because I don't know the MISO schedule, mark. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're all conflicts. Like for me, if we chose to do July 24th, for example, And the little checks closer to the date are what would be my recommendations. I'm not sure about going to Nehruk. If I go, I could be home Wednesday, or we could move it to the 25th and have that one on a Thursday. Just going through, you see, I did a three-week one in November to miss Nehruk and Thanksgiving. And with Thanksgiving, I don't think 3 weeks is too much. And then again over Christmas to miss the Christmas and New Year's holidays. So that's a proposal, but I didn't have your potential conflicts in front of me either.
So can we go back to the July one then, the 24th?
Oh, that's right. I remember that's where we cut it off last time.
It's fine. No, I've got more clarity now. So I'm not sure about Nehruk either. I'm kind of inclined not to go, but maybe we should just, if it works on the 25th, just schedule for that.
It works for me.
On Thursday the 25th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that. So 25th of July.
And then I originally had a conflict that week in August, but it would be resolved if we did it on the 6th instead of the 7th, that Tuesday.
Works for me as well.
August 6th.
Yep.
That works for me.
Okay.
Okay.
August 6th it is.
And then
do we get down to the 28th or no?
21st.
21st.
That's fine.
Randy, is that good for you?
Yep. The ones with the check marks are good for me. So
4th works for me.
But just to point out, our employee picnic is that evening, but I don't see that as an interference. But I think we would not do informal in that afternoon. But I think we've already taken that off the calendar.
I like that. Doing it that day because we'll all be here anyway. So
yep. Okay.
The 4th is good. How about the 18th? It's good for you.
Yep.
Oh wait, I better check to see if it's good for me.
Looks like it's good for me.
Well, hang on a second. It's good for me as well. So the 18th is good to go. How about October 2nd?
That looks good.
Okay, let's do the 2nd. 16th.
Okay, that one I have a potential conflict that day.
That was actually amazing. We were able to get 6 dates in a row.
I know.
And we're already into a chance of snow on October 16th. What could be?
Would your conflict be solved by going to Tuesday or Thursday, or is it more of a week-long conflict?
It might be a week-long conflict.
Should we just, since that's going to dictate how we move forward and that's going to block out the week, do you know how long it'll before you'll possibly know?
Hopefully within a
couple meetings.
Yeah, soon.
I think we can just put a hold on, because we're covered now for May, June, July, August, and September, and the first actually meeting of October, so.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do that because that could
flex
the rest of the dates beyond
it. And the other option would be to do it and change it, but I think if you guys are okay waiting.
Let me do, and we don't, I don't, I'm not even suggesting this necessarily as putting it on, but if you want to, I wouldn't be averse to it. How about if we leave those middle ones, you know, the rest of October and early November, we'll leave some flexibility. But if we scheduled December 4th, 18th, and 8th, then everybody would kind of know that we're not dealing with trying to have something the day after Christmas or the New Year's Eve day or something like that. And
sure.
Then we can just hold them on our own personal calendars.
Yeah, we can plug those in, knowing there might be a little bit of flex in them.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, and then employees can plan travel. And
Correct.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Next, the MISO update. Jerry.
Victor and I were discussing whether you wanted to try and do SPP and MISO on the same day again. If so, we don't have SPP dates, and we would come back to you next time. But if you want to separate them and just do MISO now, I'm prepared to.
I don't have a strong feeling one way or another.
I know MISO Allison is waiting for a date.
They probably come for each other's anyways, so it seems like we could save some ratepayer money by having them on the same date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't we set it? And is it something that's just in the next week or two that they've chosen one date, or do we have a variety and we have a little?
I have dates in May, June, and July.
Well, let's set some out a little bit, and then SPP can let us know if that works for them too. We would probably do it that day. Let's pick a day where we have time, or we'll let them know that they can pick a different day too.
What about the afternoon of the 15th?
Of what?
May.
I think we should set it in June.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then we might have a better chance of getting SPP. You know, that's pretty quick. That's only 2 weeks.
Good point.
What June dates did you get, Jerry?
Okay. I have the 3rd through the 7th or the 10th through the 12th.
So anytime the first 2 weeks? Week and a half.
Anytime the first week, and then the 10th through the 12th is in the...
Yeah.
If we're going to do it in that early part, I would like to do it in the first few days, like the 3rd or 4th or 5th. Or.
I like June 4th.
Is it Tuesday? Can we make it afternoon?
Don't we have to do morning and afternoon? We usually do like 10 till noon and 1 till 3?
If
you could do SPP in the morning and you could do the afternoon for MISO?
Yeah.
If we can make that work with SPP?
Yeah.
Well, if not, they'll have to have a different day then.
Okay, so you want to try the 4th, June 4th?
I'm also available on the 3rd if you guys want to give them two possible dates. But
the other thing about the 3rd is then it forces whoever's coming in the morning to travel on Sunday.
True.
I don't like traveling on Sunday unless I really have to.
And the 5th is out, Randy?
No.
I'd be available. You said
June 4th works for MISO, right?
The June dates I had was for MISO was any time the 3rd through the 7th.
Well, no, I'm okay the 5th, too.
Yeah, so let's say either the 4th or the 5th.
Works for me.
Okay.
Okay, so Jerry, you'll find out more and report back?
Yep.
Or you'll email?
Yep, will do.
All right. Work session, Burke Wind, Jerry. And transmission.
I have dates when Brian was not available.
Not available?
Yeah. And so if we were looking in May, Brian's not available on the 6th or the 10th during that first week. 6th or the 10th. The following weekend, he's not available, the 15th or the 17th. I can keep going.
Did you say May 15th? Or are we in? No, we're in
May.
May.
This is for a work session.
If we were to do it right away here, Brian's not available.
You're talking this Brian, right?
No.
On the 6th or the 10th.
Oh, never mind. Second, I'm right here, Jerry. Got it.
Sorry about that.
Well, I'm just going to stand down in the comments.
So next week, this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are open.
What are your guys's?
Okay.
Randy's busy on the 15th because we have a commission meeting.
Okay, you may have to start again for Brian.
I'll take this like 1 week at a time. So the week of May 6th, we could do Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, the 7th, 8th, or 9th.
The 8th and 9th do not work.
The 9th doesn't work for me at all. And the 8th doesn't work for Brian. Crotius. And the 7th? The 7th would be a possibility.
7th's not good for me, sorry.
Okay. So then let's go to the next week.
Let's go to the next week.
And he's not available on the 15th or the 17th. So the 13th, Monday the 13th, does that work for you guys?
Yes.
Tuesday the 14th would work better. Was that a day or was that not a day?
It is a day.
That's a good day if afternoon. We could make it in the afternoon.
1:30? 1 o'clock? 1:30?
1:30.
1:30 on Tuesday?
Perfect. Yep.
The 14th.
14th.
On Tuesday, right?
Tuesday the 14th. Okay. That we added this. Is there any others besides the rulemaking?
We have one more on the schedule. Oh, no. That's...
That was 1:30, right?
Oh, this is kind of interesting. The fourth one is scheduled commission meetings through the end of the year, which we had on twice.
Yeah, we...
Scratch that. So... We add, which one did we add again? Was that the rulemaking?
Mr. Chairman, I have a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
May 14th at 3. Make it from 3 to 5, and we'll hopefully be done earlier.
Sure. Does that work for you?
It does.
All right.
3 p.m. May 14th.
For the rulemaking. No, Burke is 1:30 on the 14th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good thing I'm paying attention.
Good thing Jerry's got this down.
We're adding another one for that same day.
And it had, and it was going so well, lining up the commission meetings, and then we just...
All right, so Jack's rulemaking
spiraled wildly out of control.
Okay.
Okay, is there anything else that anyone would have the strength to go through at this point in time? Okay, we are adjourned. Thanks.